Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
So, Seth, I'll use headlines here. What are the things we want to circle back to with Nick Caserio? I enjoyed the Brady stuff at the end.
The Brady stuff was good.
Yeah.
The Derek Stingley. I think that talking about the technical breakdown on Derek Stingley is interesting, because I want to go back at some point and kind of compare and contrast with Sauce Gardner, perhaps, and, you know, figure out, I think sometimes when it comes down to two players like that, you're splitting hairs when you're trying to figure out exactly what the difference is. And I think with Stingley, a lot of it might just be they felt more comfortable with how much film they saw of him versus really good opponents, including in practice, that they got a real good feel for who he was as a player.
I do think the one maybe newsy thing that we found out with Stingley that maybe we didn't know is that it sounds like they're still allowing him to work through this foot. They're still treating the foot like it's a thing. You know, there's the issue he had with his foot that he's, you know, Nick, I think, used the words, he's, you know, there's still work to do.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's, you know, it sounds like the workload at training camp for him, or at least in OTAs and things like that, he might be one of those ones where I think, like John Mechie coming back from an ACL, it might fluctuate. He said don't read too much into it, but it might fluctuate a little bit.
He basically invalidated my opinion that Damian Pierce has Mark Ingram type qualities to him. he's not a fan of that.
And as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, okay, now we're actually going to get. Now we're actually going to hear what he thinks about us comparing rookies to accomplished players.
He gets it. I think there was one thing where Caserio is old school and that he feels like it's a little bit disrespectful, or a lot bit disrespectful, to veteran players if you start attributing some of the rookie's qualities to that veteran player, or acting like he's that rookie is the same as a veteran when the veteran has actually gone out and done it. But in terms of just, especially for us and fans and listeners, it's easier to compare guys. And I think,
no doubt,
to give you a sense for what they're like. The biggest thing with Ingram wasn't about his playing ability or style for me. It was more just that personality that Damian Pierce seems to have, where, yeah, he's a running back who seems to care about everybody else on the team more than himself. Like, Ingram was constantly just trying to build other guys up. You know, he was like a hype man for other guys on the team. And it seems like Damian Pierce has that same personality, which is, it's nice to have guys like that around. When you have guys like that on a team, it reminds you as a player sometimes, you're like, oh, I got to be more like him. What a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hopefully. I don't know what Damian Pierce is like day in, day out, but he seems like that kind of guy.
Yeah, no doubt. What did you think of his answer to NIL being part of the scouting criteria for players?
I thought that he's definitely thought about it somewhat, but I think it was along the lines of what I anticipated, which is he doesn't know that much about it yet.
Yeah.
Like I don't know that much about it or how it's going to play out. It's impossible to predict exactly how it's going to play out. But I think he's going to start to get a feel for it. There will be some sad stories. There will be some happy stories. There will be players that handled it really well, and it showed it was a reflection on them. But I think, like, for most scouts and personnel people, they got to go based off of what they've seen before, and they've never seen any of this before. So they're trying to – it seems like he's trying to keep an open mind about, you know, how players handle it and what it means for their playing career.
I absolutely agree with you on that part, that he brought up, hey, look, some of these guys might do the NIL stuff because they come from a background where $800,000, I'm paraphrasing, totally, but you know, that kind of money can change things for their family in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Here's what I thought was the most interesting part of the answer. Him proactively bringing up Jordan Addison, the wide receiver who transferred this past week, literally on the same day when Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban were swinging lightsabers at each other, to use a Star Wars nerd analogy. Jordan Addison announced that he was transferring to USC. That story is on the radar of NFL teams. Nick brought up specific rumored news elements to that story about the dollars that are being reportedly thrown around. And he didn't make a judgment on Jordan Addison one day or another, but what that told me was, one, this is absolutely something they're following, the NIL, and two, specific to Jordan Addison, who, for people who don't know, he was the Biletnikoff Award winner this past season at Pitt and just transferred to USC to finish out his collegiate career playing in a Lincoln Riley offense with Caleb Williams as his quarterback, now that Kenny Pickett is gone, and reportedly doing so for what's going to amount to a huge NIL deal. We don't know how much is truth and how much is rumor, but he's reportedly going to be a first-round pick next year if he has a good season. He's a Biletnikoff Award winner. Jordan Addison's going to get asked about this a lot by every team. He is going to get asked questions about, I mean, what was the deal with your NIL stuff and the transfer from Pitt to USC.
Yeah. I mean, and the transfer is obviously going to be on the radar anyway because they're scouting the guy.
Right.
So, I think one of our listeners pointed this out as Casario was talking about Tom Brady being focused on just being good that day and being good with the scout team and everything. One of our listeners said our listener felt like that was like a direct response to a Kayvon Thibodeau question or something. You know, like he was saying, like, look, this is why we this is what the listener is saying, not Nick Casario,
sure.
But yeah, that, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau doesn't seem like he had that kind of mindset where some of the other guys that perhaps Casario, other guys like, do, whether it's Kenyon Green or Derek Stingley or whomever else. And again, some of that comes down to, all right, where does the guy put it as a priority? I don't think most scouts understand, like, yeah, we work in professional football. We're not opposed to players getting paid. It's how much is a player distracted by it? How much is he able to allocate time for that but keep football the main thing? And that's really what it's all about is, okay, as soon as anything becomes a distraction, whether it's women, whether it's NIL deals, whether it's drama in your life, whatever it is, that's something that's a red flag. So the guys that can just do that stuff but keep football the main thing, that's what they're looking for. They're not looking for guys that want to live like monks and, you know, play for free. They just want to look at guys – they want to see guys who can handle it.
To the point you made earlier, it's just as good to have a kid who has NIL income coming in and has shown he can handle it. You may have a better grasp of what kind of NFL player they're going to be than somebody who's not dabbled in it at all. I Bryce Young is a perfect example of that, the quarterback for Alabama, who's got hundreds of thousands of dollars of NIL and seems to have handled it just fine. He won the damn Heisman Trophy this past year. All right, we'll circle back to some of the things Nick Casario had to say. A couple of the rookies did get mentions. We asked him about Derek Stingley. Not only did he give the scouting report, but he gave an update on Stingley and where he is medically, and also Damian Pierce mixed into the conversation as well, a Texans fan favorite. Casario on the rookie class next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, joined us for about 35 minutes here on the show, in the past segment. Got the station ID and just literally at the buzzer, got the station ID. And Ben, were you nervous that the station ID wasn't going to
A little bit, yes.
Okay, yeah. The thing is, if we got fined for it, then I'm sure Nick would split it with. I'm sure he'd split the fine with us. I'm sure he would.
Doesn't come out of my checks. I don't care.
It's true.
I get fired, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know.
But that's yeah, whatever. That happens.
It happens.
Listen, kids, you can't worry about getting fired, okay? Unless you've got like serious. Unless you've got like mouths to feed and everything.
Right.
But God bless you if you. God bless you if you don't have any mouths to feed your own.
Yeah.
Get fired.
Oh,
get fired once in a while. For principle, you know, if you're standing up for your principles,
right?
Not because you're a jerk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, just that's exactly right. That's good advice, Seth. Absolutely.
I don't know if it's great. That's an incomplete advice. I just encourage kids to go out and get fired. It's generally a bad thing to get fired if you're getting fired for doing a poor job or something.
But don't be afraid to take risks.
Yes. If somebody's asking you to do something you don't want to do, something
right.
like that, well, by all means, get fired.
That's right. Derek Stingley. The third overall pick in the draft. I don't think he's in any danger of getting fired anytime soon. In fact, he might be one of the most secure guys over in the building over there. We asked Nick Caserio, what made Derek Stingley the pick for you at number three?
At the top of the board, you know, there were certainly a handful of players that we felt comfortable with. I'd say in Derek's case, it was a productive player over the three-year period, so played very well as a freshman, very productive against a lot of good people. 2020, COVID really affected everybody just in terms of games played and overall availability standpoint. And then 2021, I'd say from Derek's standpoint, it was a little bit stop and start. He played three or four games there with the foot, and he wasn't even really healthy. So, I mean, it kind of speaks to his competitiveness and his toughness. When he was able to get out there in the spring and actually test and show that he's at least making some progress, I'd say he definitely still has some work to do just in terms of being ready to go for camp. But, 6 foot, 190 pounds, good size, good length, runs well, plays the ball well for a defensive back. I think one of the things that you try to track and study as best you can, especially with corners, is their ability to play the football down the field when they're in phase or even if they're out of phase. I'd say some corners certainly play the ball better than others. It's a skill. Some guys are a little more natural than others. I'd say J.C. Jackson is a good example of a guy that's, you know, can play the ball really well. You know, his production certainly speaks to that over the course of his career. So, played against a lot of good players, not only on campus at LSU, but throughout the SEC. Had a good visit with him, has a really good demeanor and presence about him. I'd say he's very quiet and soft-spoken. I think one of the things you guys will notice whenever you do get a chance to talk to him, he doesn't really say much. But you can't mistake that for, I would say, internal drive and competitive spirit and competitive stamina and toughness, and has a good understanding of the techniques that go along with playing the corner position. So when you factor everything in, we felt comfortable with the pick. I would say, you know, from a health standpoint, that's always a question, you know, where is he from a foot standpoint? So, I mean, I think in the end we felt comfortable with what the final diagnosis was going to be. I'd say he's certainly working through it here this spring. spring, you know, I think we'll probably, and I'd say not specific to Derek, but during the course of the spring, you know, we'll have different players in different stages that, you know, may or may not be available for practice. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. It just means that we're kind of working through our process, you know, with those players, but the expectations of those players will, you know, will be ready for training camp.
All right. So that was the Caserio with the scouting report there on Derek Stingley Jr.
So I think the thing that you wanted to point out in there that you picked up on that I didn't at the time was that Derek Stingley is still working through some of his ankle issues or his foot issues, which when I first heard him say it, I thought he was talking about just like he had just been talking about how all the rookies, you know, need to get in shape or not, you know, just they need to learn and get back into a routine. I thought he was talking about something from that standpoint. But, yeah, he was very specifically talking about his foot issues. That doesn't make me feel super, super comfortable about the situation. I'd like to see Derek Stingley a full go come training camp.
Yeah, I guess the one thing I would say is, you know, he did run a 4.37 at his pro day. So he was doing pro day things. But yeah, that was news to me that they're still to some degree kind of working through the foot. Now, maybe they're just being cautious with the whole thing. Seth, I don't think they're taking him with the third overall pick if they thought that this was a big deal. Yeah. You know, and I trust the Texans doctors that they know what they're doing when they say this is a plan that we need to have for Derek Stingley Jr. and he'll be ready for the start of the season. I just think it's new. I don't think we had heard that anywhere yet that they were still kind of monitoring that for Derek Stingley Jr. and handling it as an issue that's clearly on the radar for him right now.
Yeah, and it might be almost in line with what he was talking about, where players are visiting everybody and you know, going on multiple visits to multiple teams. They've got other things going on. They're not working in a structured program. Sometimes rehab really suffers because of that. So he might be at a point now where he just needs to get back on the steady routine of rehab. And it might be as simple as that. There's sometimes some of the, you know, the little, when you see guys, especially with ankle and foot issues and everything, when you see guys doing their rehab and you see them balancing on the wobble boards and all that kind of stuff, some of that fine tuning really falls by the wayside when you've got an erratic travel schedule. And that's the kind of stuff that maybe they just need to get him back on board with. That's where I'll cross my fingers and knock on wood. Because look, this is what we knew all along, right? This is, that one of the biggest differences between Sauce Gardner and Derek Stingley was simply, as Sauce Gardner said, availability is the best ability. And that's what Sauce Gardner has been. He's been healthy, whereas Derek Stingley is not. So you can't, there's not going to be any excusing the Texans if Derek Stingley ends up banged up a lot, like a Kevin Johnson or something. It was a warning sign that was there.
In a weird way, it sounds to me like the injury actually in 2021 actually might have played to his favor in a weird way, that he got on the field with it. I mean, Caserio
tried to play through it.
Caserio said it speaks to his competitiveness that he was playing through a foot injury. He actually got on the field. And I think it is fair to point out when guys get injured, I do have a degree of respect for guys. I think Kayvon Thibodeau, the same thing. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau got banged up. We are in a day and age, and I don't begrudge players who do this, but I think it says a lot about players who don't. Players, we're in a day and age where a lot of guys get an injury like that, and they say, you know what, I'm going to go work out and get ready for the draft. Nick Bosa did that. Got hurt, said, I'm going to go get ready for the draft. I don't begrudge him for doing that, but I do think it says a lot about a guy as far as being a teammate and being a competitor, that he wants to get back on the field and compete and play.
Yeah. Also, after that question, one of our listeners had asked, what's the difference? What's in phase and out of phase with a defensive back? Basically, out of phase is when you're in an uh-oh moment. In phase, everything's going as planned. You're positioned exactly where you want to be. Out of phase is like, and some guys are feeling more uh-oh than others. So when you're operating well out of phase with a guy like Derek Stingley, a guy that's got the ability to reel people back in or to not panic and understand and read the receiver's body language to anticipate where the ball is going to go so that you can go up and make a play. It's almost kind of knowing what's going on with your back turned to the quarterback when you've got to regain a step or two. That's the kind of calmness under pressure that really good defensive backs have. Because everybody's going to get beat by a step or two sometimes. The genuinely great ones can recover from it.
Are receivers able to play games with young DBs like that, though, with their eyes? Like, make it look like, hey, you better turn on the ball, kid. The ball's coming, and they, you know,
in their hands, they're different. Like, DeAndre was really good with keeping his hands really quiet and not reaching for the ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, and then sometimes, you know, I'm just thinking from like a defensive line or offensive lineman perspective. Sometimes when you're going against a young guy, you overthink it and you forget that he's not going to bite on your first move. So, you start running counters to counters that aren't bit on. So, there's a whole lot of cat and mouse game at all those positions.
All right, 713-572-4610. We'll hear from Nick Caserio on Damian Pierce and some other topics we dug into with him. Seth, we also have to power rank the infractions that would most damage a prospect's draft status. The questions that wound up on the cutting room floor in our conversation with Nick Caserio. The power ranking the infractions that could damage a prospect's status. We'll do that as well as we roll on here on a Monday. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Nick Caserio, Texans GM, joined us a little bit earlier. Here is Nick Caserio on rookie running back Damian Pierce.
There's a few players. I would say Pierce is probably a good example where, not to transition to him, but, you know, had 100 carries, you know, 500 yards, 13 touchdowns. So his touches were a little bit limited, but then you do a little bit deeper dive and maybe study some, we kind of had a model that we developed specific to the running backs. There was like five or six different metrics. And he scored favorably on a lot of those relative to some other players. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the guy's going to be great players going to the Hall of Fame. It just might give you kind of a little bit more information than you realize was there. It was maybe there in plain sight, but maybe once you do a little bit deeper dive, you see a little bit more. So I think you just have to be, I would say, flexible in your thought process and be open-minded to using information sources that are available that you think are helpful and as a supplementary tool that can help your overall process.
For what it's worth, Damian Pierce, of the running backs coming into the league in this draft, look, everybody loved Breece Hall. You know, the combine stats with Breece Hall. Pierce was the, according to Pro Football Focus, he was the top scored running back coming into the league out of this rookie class. He had like a 92 grade on Pro Football Focus. Granted, as Nick points out, Seth, it was on a sample size that's probably smaller than some of the guys that went ahead of him, you know, smaller than Breece Hall, certainly smaller than Kenneth Walker from Michigan State, who got a ton of wear on the tread at Michigan State this past year. But I found it interesting that he talked about the model they put together where Pierce graded out so well. And I'm looking, I wonder if we can now use Pro Football Focus as any sort of, like if there's any, I know it's only one prospect. I wonder if there's any sort of correlation there.
I think with Pro Football Focus, some of the stuff they've done with prospect evaluation, it's really interesting. And they do, like, that's where Pro Football Focus is tough, because the most popular thing they do, or at least the thing that gets the most headlines, are their grades, where NFL teams probably value that the least, like the overall grades, but they use a lot of information from Pro Football Focus. A lot of teams subscribe to, like, the professional version of Pro Football Focus. And I think some of the prospect evaluation, they do a good job of kind of looking at different factors from all the previous years and figuring out, okay, it's rare for a guy who looks like this or runs like this to actually make it in the NFL. And likewise, hey, when a guy has this mix of factors, they almost always make it in the NFL. I'm guessing that was something similar with Damian Pierce, whatever the Texans are using, it's similar to that. So I think that with Pierce, he has some of those things that maybe would grade him down, where a lot of the more forward-thinking people might think, okay, that might grade him down, but we don't actually care about that. Like breakaway speed for a running back. I think that's probably overrated in a lot of respects, because you're a genuinely rare running back. You know, it's awesome if you have it, and you're that rare running back that is good for the home runs hitting. But if you're talking about taking a guy in the third or fourth or fifth round, who really cares? But guys might get graded down because, like, Damian Pierce doesn't have great breakaway speed. Okay, who cares? I just want him to run 10 or 15 yards more.
Yeah.
And then size as well. You know, a Maurice Jones-Drew type of guy might get graded down for his size, when in reality, with those dimensions, especially like with Damian Pierce, where he's kind of like a bowling ball, I think his size can be an asset, because he's got so much mass packed into that incredibly, you know, the lower body strength type of frame, low center of gravity, kind of an ability to hide behind blockers. That really is a strength in a lot of ways. So, yeah, I bet they hopefully stumbled onto something with Damian Pierce.
Yeah, and I think, look, for those that are enthusiastic about Damian Pierce ending up being the guy, or at least the lead guy in a committee here this year, you're going to look at a lot of highlights where he's doing stuff with the ball in his hands. You know, he's trucking guys, he's running without his helmet on, all those things that we've seen on YouTube. He's going to have to pass protect if he's going to get on the field and stay on the field as a rookie running back. He's going to have to pick up his assignments, you know, blitz pickup and pass pro and things like that. That'll be what dictates his ability to get on the field and stay on the field.
And I think, honestly, that's where sometimes I've got almost a knee-jerk skepticism when a guy has a really engaging personality publicly, because you've probably been burned a bunch of times in your life by either prospects or people in life in general that make an awesome first impression, and yet it doesn't bear that out. So one of the things about Damian Pierce, I think, was that the fact that he seemingly actually really gives a damn about pass protection feels like a selfless guy.
Yeah.
Like, I've always looked at that, and especially in college, where maybe it's not focused on as much, that if a guy cares about it, you know, and all that depends on your individual coach. But sometimes guys' egos are so big that it doesn't matter if their coach is harping on it. It's one of the more selfless things that running backs have to do, and guys that actually care about it probably are pretty selfless players.
NFL.com had an article, Seth, day three rookies who could compete for starting snaps right away. Number two on the list, Damian Pierce. Round four, 107th overall. Here's what it says. The Texans have a few veteran running backs on the roster, but Pierce could easily start eight or more games this year. Marlon Mack only has 32 carries for the past 2 years, and Rex Burkhead turns 32 this summer. So the former Gator could see a lot of opportunities. Houston fans will be won over by the electric confidence with the ball in his hands and his strong nose for the end zone. I was won over from day one with his message to Texan fans.
Yo, hey, Tom. Hey, it's your boy DP. Hey, he's the newest running back. We coming to H-Town. Hey, I'm here for a good time and a long time. You feel me? Hey, let's go, babe. I'm ready to work. Appreciate everybody. Let's get their work in, man. Let's go.
Listen to that on a loop. I want to make that my
that reason. Is like, honestly, yeah, I know like Caserio didn't want us comparing Damian Pierce to Mark Ingram. It wasn't comparing the player to the player. It really was all about just the personality. And like that kind of life and energy does bring a lot to a practice, especially when it's hot out.
Oh, dude, I was just going to say, man, I could use something like that standing out at practice. I can only imagine the players who are out there hitting at practice.
Dude, give me that all day long versus the guy who's like, hey, guys, come on. This is awesome. Let's do it. don't give me corny enthusiasm when it's hot out. I don't need to hear it. Give me somebody like Damian Pierce. Make me feel like there's actually some joy to be had out of this situation.
Here was Nick Caserio. Seth mentions that he compared Damian Pierce to Mark Ingram for Nick Caserio. Here was Casario's response to Seth's comparison of the rookie running back to veteran Mark Ingram.
Yeah, I think every player has their own sort of personality dynamics. I would say, you know, Mark's been in the league for a long time, 10, 11 years, 12, whatever it's been. And I think he's one of the most respected players on the team. He's certainly one of the most respected players on our team last year when he was in the building. And that's earned over time. So I think, you know, fairly or unfairly, I think players get compared to other players, but I think it's kind of unfair to compare Damian to a player like Mark and, you know, his status as a player. But I would say specific to Damian, his overall personality, he's an outgoing kid. He plays a lot of energy, he plays a lot of joy, and he plays a lot of toughness. So Damian Pierce is his own person. Mark Ingram is his own person. I think all these rookies is important for them to just be their own person and be careful of making a comparison and thinking that's kind of apples to apples. So I know that's a natural reaction. That's what everybody wants to do, which is fine, but that's not really something that we spend a lot of time on. We focus on the individual player. Who are they as a person? What's their makeup? And then how are they going to fit into our building with the rest of the group that we already have in place?
We don't spend a lot of time. That's good, Nick, because that's all we do on this show is spend time comparing all your rookies to guys they might play like in the NFL. Yeah.
You know what, though? It is That's one of those tricky things that personnel people have to worry about, is that you don't want to rely too heavily on player comparisons, because then you get inaccurate. You know, you start crisscrossing different attributes that one player might have that your player doesn't. So it's got to be difficult to do, but to kind of pound that out and not get all wrapped up in that.
Someone says on the text page, 713-269, remember some years ago the Texans brought in an undrafted receiver? He was outspoken, and like a couple practices later, he quit to go pursue his career in promoting. I just Googled it. His name was Dwight Jones. I remember this. This was in training camp in 2012, and he was from North Carolina. I Googled Texans rookie quits North Carolina.
Yeah.
This was the news blurb. Rookie free agent wide receiver Dwight Jones told the Texans he has no interest in playing football. The former North Carolina standout, who proclaimed he would be, quote, the next Andre Johnson shortly after signing with the Texans, was not at OTAs on Tuesday. Now we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of this, May 29th, 2012. The 10-year anniversary of Dwight Jones, the next Andre Johnson, quitting football.
It's hard to find information on Dwight Jones, the football player, because Dwight Jones, the much older murderer, has a whole lot of headlines about the six people that he killed in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
So, Dwight Jones, the American football, but he's currently a free agent, according to Wikipedia.
Okay. That makes sense.
Well, yeah, he's not even a foot. They shouldn't be listening to him. This is the ultimate disrespect. He's a promoter, not a football player.
As far as we know.
He played for the Jets for two more years, and then he played for the Arizona Rattlers.
It was
a short-lived retirement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got the thirst for maybe the promoting didn't go as well as he thought it would. I guess I better get back to doing this football thing.
And then he had animal accusations of animal cruelty in 2015.
Okay, well that's no way to make a career as a promoter right there, I would say.
No.
All right, so Seth, we had some questions that wound up on the cutting room floor for Nick Caserio. You had on here power rank the infractions in order of which ones would most damage a prospect's draft status. We didn't get to this with Nick.
It got complicated because for one, I didn't think he would probably feel great about giving answers on this one.
Yeah.
Maybe just for competitive reasons alone. And two was I came up with way too many categories.
Yeah. So some really good ones.
Yeah. I'll go for an order from least destructive to a draft prospect chances to most destructive.
Okay.
I would say of all the infractions that might hurt a player, I've got seven or eight here. I'm going to say the least in this list is a recruiting violation, mm-hmm. a la Reggie Bush.
Right.
I know there are always rumors that somehow it was Reggie Bush's recruiting violations that somehow the McNairs didn't like. I never bought that for a second. Maybe there was something to him not signing a contract or not being able to come to terms with a contract, whereas Mario Williams could. I'm not sure I'm buying that completely either. Like, it is possible that Charlie Casserly just knew that Mario Williams was the better. Anyway, so recruiting violation, that's the least one. I said this. I said a verified non-marijuana user who tested positive because he succumbed to peer pressure just once. It's a story nobody's going to believe, but in this hypothetical situation, the scouts believe him. So
okay.
This is a guy, he had a positive test, because, and you know why this doesn't hurt his draft status, Sean?
Yeah.
Because teams start thinking of this guy as like, you know what, all these other teams are going to pass on him. But we're the smart ones that know that it's no big deal.
Yep.
That was the first time he'd ever even seen a gas mask, and he just wanted to try it on.
Distressed asset. Yes, I like it.
This is where, marijuana user who's never tested positive was another one. So if he's known, and I think this has changed over time, but it's still gonna hurt him, especially like if he's a fiend, you know, if he's just blazing 24/7, that's going to be concerned. They're going to be nervous about that. Above that, so we've got a couple here, one that's an illegal thing, but is still below. Tax evasion involving NIL.
Okay.
And this is a new one. We haven't seen this happen yet, but it will happen. As one of our accountant listeners pointed out earlier, it's not just the money that they're receiving. It's any products or services
any
little perks, anything like that.
Yeah.
It's some complex state tax laws come into play here. There's a lot of kind of complex tax code stuff that professional athletes have to deal with, but that college kids might not be set up to handle. So I don't think teams are going to be too upset about that, but they might get the impression that the guys that don't handle it are also not going to handle it well in the NFL.
So you think that's worse than being a marijuana user who's never tested positive?
Yeah, it's tax evasion. You can go to jail for one. You're just going to be an annoyance to a cop for the other.
No,
there's going to be some cop that's like, now I got to deal with this. I got actual stuff to worry about, man. Yeah,
I feel like that's something that if you're drafting a kid who did that, it was just an oversight. He just didn't have the right people around him.
Yeah. So maybe we'll rework that one.
Yeah.
I'm kind of doing this on the fly here, Sean. So now this would be one. A cocaine user, I think, is going to raise a whole lot of red flags.
Probably so. Yeah.
Like they're willing to forego a lot of the softer stuff. They find out that you're into the Bolivian marching powder,
mm-hmm.
then they're a little bit more nervous about that.
Yeah,
because that's not something that tends to improve with money.
Right.
Very few people out there are like, huh. I'm using a good amount of cocaine right now, but trust me, I'm going to stop when I start making way more money.
Right.
Okay?
I'll find other hobbies, like hang gliding, you know?
Yes.
Things that I can't afford right now, like yachting. That'll replace the coke.
Now, just above that, above cocaine user, non-drug user,
mm-hmm.
but he sells drugs.
Oh, Sam Hurd.
Yeah.
Sam Hurd. Yeah. Remember Sam Hurd? Sam Hurd, the wide receiver, former wide receiver for the Cowboys and the Bears.
Yeah.
Who I believe went to prison. He, while he was a player, had an entire like network, like a drug ring. He was a drug lord while playing wide receiver for the Chicago Bears.
Ooh, that's right. Oh, I remember forgot him? About that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot that it was, yeah, and it was while he was playing for the Bears. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
But now, do we know that he was doing it in college?
I have no idea. All I can remember from that was being, I marveled at the fact that this guy could run a successful drug ring while being an NFL football player. And I thought to myself, if this guy just took whatever mental and physical energy it took to run a drug ring, if he channeled that to good,
there's
it could be the long-lost Manning brother.
It happened with Hurd, and it happened with somebody else who, as an active player, and I think this is what Aaron Hernandez was thinking a little bit, except his brain was too modeled by his own personal drug use. Yeah. Never get high on your own supply, man. That's the first rule of the drug game,
that's
man.
Right.
I think that some guys like have this fantasy from too much movie watching that like that's what they. I'm going to use this. This investment money I have to become a drug kingpin and quintuple my money, quintuple it, or rather. And then this, by far, above and beyond all of those other things, will get a prospect damned, more so than a recruiting violation, more so than hardcore cocaine use or selling drugs, more so than an NIL tax evasion deal. If you are a quarterback who wasn't a captain. God rest your football soul. If you are a quarterback who wasn't a captain,
that is the best.
You are SOL.
Oh my God.
If you're a captain, but you're snorting coke off the head coach's wife's boobs on the weekends, it does not matter because you're a captain.
You can explain that away, but you can explain that away easier than explaining away not being a captain. Have you looked at her boobs? I mean, come on. Yeah. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. We head into the 9 o'clock hour. Solid weekend for the Astros. Not so solid for me as someone who went to the game on Friday, but overall a solid weekend for the squad. Updates on some of your injured Astros next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.